Please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed tonight, that we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture reading for this evening is found in the book of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 15 and 31 through 35. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. After he had washed their feet, he had put on his robe and had returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I love history. I like knowing where things came from, why we do things the way we do them, how they came to be, the name, the story behind a name. My husband Will could tell you that I love knowing why sports teams have their names. The Portland Trail Blazers, for example, are named after the Oregon Trail. The San Francisco 49ers, named for the Gold Rush of 1849. The New Jersey Devils, named for the Swamp Devil that lives in the Pine Lands of New Jersey. Words and phrases that we use in church have also drawn me in. Words like Passover or Pentecost or Maundy, as in Maundy Thursday. Often pronounced Monday Thursday by the younger ones in our congregation, this word and the meaning behind it have always fascinated me. So, of course, I had to learn about it. I discovered that the word Maundy is a corrupted form of the Latin word mandatum, from which we get our English word mandate. It means to hand over or to give as an order or a command. Now, when I think of Maundy Thursday, I picture the washing of the disciples' feet, as we just read, the breaking of the bread, the betrayal of Judas. I think of the origins of our modern communion service, the fellowship that Jesus had with his friends on his last night on earth. I don't necessarily think of a mandate, and yet that is what the name bestowed upon this day seems to focus on. And so we look back at the scripture to discover this mandate, this command. In John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus tells his disciples in the upper room, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." He repeats himself again in chapter 15, verses 12 and 17, saying, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Love. Jesus has said a lot in his 3 years of ministry on earth. He has told parables, given instructions, talked about following him. But on the night before he was to die, his final command to his disciples is about love. On a night when their anger was about to get the best of them, when their friends would betray and deny Jesus, when their fear of exposure would make them turn away, he commands them to love. Even when everything was going wrong, they were still called to choose love. And even when they didn't feel like it, they were called to choose love. In John chapter 13, verse 34, just after he has commanded them to love one another, Jesus says this: "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In 1966, on the south side of Chicago, a Catholic priest by the name of Peter Schultes was the parish priest at St. Brendan's Catholic Church, a congregation that was about half Irish and half African American. He was leading a youth choir out of his church basement and was looking for an appropriate song for a series of ecumenical interracial events at the time of the civil rights movement, something in which he was quite involved. Unable to find such a song, he wrote his own, using the words of Jesus as a guide. His final product declares a hopeful proclamation that they will know we are Christians by our love. Looking around at the news, social media, and our world in general, I'm not so sure that that is what we are known for. On a more personal level, I'm not even sure that that is what I am known for. Are you? I think we like to think that we love pretty well. I know that I like to think that I love pretty well. We are nice to those we like, and maybe even to those we like less, as long as we are in a good mood. We help others when it is convenient for us, or gives us one more achievement for our resume or college application. We stand up for what is right, more often when it doesn't require us to do anything more than sign a petition or even just to not join the wrong side. But what about the ugly gossip about our coworker that we participated in, or just as bad, that we allow to continue? Will they know we are Christians by our love? Or what about that snarky text or tweet that hurts someone's feelings at school? Will they know we are Christians by our love? Or that friend who we've invited to church but who has heard the way we judge and put down others outside of our circle? Will they know we are Christians by our love? This Sunday, Easter Sunday, we will welcome many people who haven't been to church in a while, or maybe never at all. We might know them from the community, from school, from the gym. Will they be surprised to see us here? Will they know we are Christians by our love? In John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus follows up his command with this: "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Tomorrow, Good Friday, we will remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross, a sacrifice of love, not the kind of love that is convenient, self-serving, but the kind of love that forgives our enemies, turns the other cheek, and lays down its life for others. This is the kind of love that Jesus commanded. Will they know we are Christians by our love? Let us pray. Lord, as we gather here to remember your last night with your disciples and the meal you shared, let us also remember the command that you gave to your disciples to love in all its fullness, in all its complexity, with the sacrifice of ourselves that love requires. In your name we pray. Amen.